Okay, I have the honor to have an interview with you, with the two of you, and just some simple questions to get to know you a little bit more and the life in India. And the first one is just, yeah, I think it would be nice if you introduce yourself, like name, what you do in India, like just a short introduction.
Works. Good evening to every one of you. It is such a great joy for me to introduce myself. My name is Biswajit Pani, and I come from the eastern part of India called Bhubaneswar. And I'm married. My wife Kuni is with me. We are married for 25 years, and we have two child. Son Nishan is a graduate who is working in a company, and daughter is Eva. She is 20 years and she is studying. And I work for a Christian social organization called World Vision for 16 years. And while I was working there, I used to go for street preaching and evangelism. And when people came to know the Lord, accepted the Lord, there was nobody to take care of the new convert. Therefore, in 2000, we decided to start a new mission organization, and we are now working with that mission. Yeah.
Yeah, good evening to all of you. I'm so joyful and thankful to the Lord to see all the boys and girls, or how can I say, all of you? So many in number, and I just rejoice in the Lord. And it's my privilege and God's grace that we both could come here to your land, Germany. And as my husband said, my name is Kuni Pani, so you can call me Kuni. And we have been working and serving the Lord since the day I married. When I married him, then I didn't know that he is going to be a missionary. And I was thinking that everything will be all right. And yes, whatever is my ambition, because I studied to be a lecturer in a university. And it was my dream to work in a university. And then when we got married, I got pregnant with my first boy. And when I was pregnant with him, and then he shared me the vision that I want to leave this organization and we want to start a mission work. And that was so difficult, of course, for me, because I was in my mind thinking of other profession. And then it took to me, all the girls I'm telling, it took to me for 3 years to decide and join him with my heart, mind, and soul in the mission work. But God helped me. So that's the way we have been working till today. Thank you.
Thank you for the introduction. And the next question would be, you already, kind of said it. You had, when we were in India, you told us how you two met, and it was like not the typical story of how people get married. And I think it would be interesting for us to hear about that, because it's not the standard here in Europe. So maybe you could give us like a little insight into that.
He gave me for this answer. Yeah, it was kind of not actually started with love, but the love started after marriage. You know, it's an arranged marriage, we call it. And the marriage is successful. We have been married till 25 years. And yes, and it started with like this youth meeting. I had been once in a meeting where I was studying in university. And there was a youth program, and I was there with my friend, and he came from the other city, And he found that I come from the same native where he comes from. And he talked to a pastor. Through the pastor, he came to know me. And I didn't notice it. It was he who found me in that youth meeting. Then he went to his parent and told that I found a girl, and please take this proposal to their house, because that's the way we do it. In arranged marriage, they don't come directly to each other, so through the parents they move. So his parents talked to a pastor, the pastor that my parent know. So the parents of him have to find out which pastor has to take the proposal to my parent. And the pastor came with the proposal to my parent, and my parent said, okay, we want to know more about the boy, about the family. And they got a lot of information. They came, and his parents came. They talked together. After everything over between the parents, they sent him to my house, and he came, and I saw him. When he came, he asked two questions. He asked me, do you love Lord? I said, of course, I love the Lord, and I love the Lord, yes. And the second question, he asked me, do you love to read the Christian literature or the Christian environment, the Christian service? So I said, yes, I love it. Only that much question he asked. He never... Everything about the Lord, yes, how I'm connected to Lord and what I like about it. And then, yes, not the other thing, not the other information. And then, yes, my parents liked him. He liked me. Even I said yes to my parent and everything. When you ask this question, I think the main purpose, because wherever I visit, the children or the youth ask me the purpose, how do we come into relationship? So the thing, when we trust on the parents, I trusted my parents that my parent had selected a very suitable partner for my life. And then I said, yes, I will get married him. After marriage, we, of course, love to each other. We form the family and everything in the hand of the Lord. So that's the way we married.
But you had the chance to say no, right?
Yes. Some girls had the chance to say no, but for me personally, I trusted my parents because that's the way I was raised up. Everything what they think for me is good for me. So like God is first and then my parents, because I know they have the good wishes and good will for me.
Yeah, that's very great, very different from Orway. Yes. So the next question would be, since you're both Christian and you're also missionaries, what is it like being Christian in a Hindu country, like among Hindus?
This is a very challenging question. In our country, people worship many gods. You know, they said 33 million gods and goddesses they worship. And as a Christian, we are called to be the light and salt through our lifestyle, through our testimony. We try to share about Jesus, because every time just telling the gospel is very difficult, but sharing the gospel in action becomes more effective for people. So when we go to a new mission field, when I was working in World Vision, I used to go to a particular small, very rural village. I think the team, they have visited that village. It is called Madhapur. You know, now there are a lot of children who have become disciples of Jesus. When I went there, one day I saw that a 3 or 4 years old boy, he is tied with a rope on his leg to a small wooden pole. And that boy is left with a bowl of rice. And the boy is crying. Sometimes the boy is eating and crying again. And I asked the neighbors, what is the problem with this boy? The neighbor said that this boy's parents are very poor and they go for stone cutting to other place. And there is nobody to take care of this boy, you know. That's why they just left him like this. And that story and that picture really broke my heart. And I have the founder of World Vision, who is a pastor, he said a quote, and that was, I carry that thing in my heart. He says, let my heart be broken with the things that breaks the heart of God. And that quote always touches me, because we live in a land of poverty, we live in a land of illiteracy, and what does God look at this situation? And from that day, I prayed, Lord, you open a door so that we will be able to share the love of Jesus in this village. And then after marriage, we decided we will start a childcare project there. And we started that project. And today, in that village, 45 children, you know, they became the disciple of Jesus. And they accepted Jesus. And when they go to their Hindu families, they share with their family that if mother is sick, they tell, Mama, you are not praying to Jesus. Pray to Jesus, and Jesus will heal you. So that is the way we try to share about Jesus in the Hindu community. And another real story that I can share with you is that we have a daughter, her name is Jiva. In the month of November 2003, it was a cold morning. My younger brother, he went for a morning walk. And he saw in one place, lot of dogs are surrounded. And when he went near to that place, he saw a day-old baby laid on the heap of sand, you know, small hill of sand, and the dogs are around them. He took the baby, and that morning, we both were praying that we have a son, we need a friend for our son. And we were praying, and my brother came with that baby, and he said, I found this baby, I went to the neighborhood, nobody accepted it. And he was not married that time, you know. Without marriage, if you adopt a baby, that looks very unusual. And that baby came to us as a gift of God. And we name her Evangeline. We call her Eva. And that appeared in the newspaper that Christian people, they've thrown away baby, they brought and adopted as their own child. So in India, helping and becoming a light and salt becomes a, you know, stepping stone for the evangelism. That's how we do it. And I think you must have seen our project, baby project, where we have brought now 52 babies, thrown away babies, we take care. And now they are being adopted by different families. So sometimes people, they say, why are you doing such a work? But that's a great opportunity as well as a challenge for us to share the love of Jesus. That's how we are doing it. Yeah.
So it's more through actions and yes, showing love and helping each other.
Yeah. At the same time, whenever the opportunity pops, we always share the love of Jesus.
Okay, so when you share the gospel, what difficulties do you meet? Or what is the danger for Christians sharing the gospel in India?
When we want to share the gospel, normally they think that Christianity is a white religion, foreign religion, because the Britishers, they rule India for more than 250 years. So they think, now they don't consider you as a people from Germany or people from America. If you go to India, they'll say, these people are British people. You know, they are from England. These people, they rule us. They took away all our property, our gold, our this and that. So that is a wrong idea they have. So normally, we try to build relationship with them first, then we share the gospel. So through some social action, we try to build our friendship, relationship, and that works.
And there's also a lot of persecution in India. You told us a lot of stories. How do the Christians deal with that?
Yeah, that's very true that more and more persecution is coming up in India and spreading all over India. India is a very big country with full of majority Hindu religion, and Christians are only 3%. But the good thing of persecution, the blessing in persecution is Christians are not retaliating, not going against the persecutor. Rather, the good thing happening, they are getting united. And nowadays, during the election time, all Christian people, they say, we are the Christian, we love the Lord, and people are persecuting us, but still we have to do. That means we have to share the gospel or die. There is no option. You share, do or die. That's the very good concept that's coming up to the Christian people, and people are getting united and they work together, and many churches are coming up. Many people are coming to Christ, even if there is persecution. So persecution is a blessing to have more churches and the kingdom grows. But the thing is, you suffer and the work of Lord grows. So somebody has to suffer and go through persecution. Like Paul says, when I'm weak, then the Spirit of the Lord, the power of the Lord rests on me and I'm strong. So it's the same feeling. Through persecution, there is power, there is blessing in India. But we have to suffer it.
Yeah, can I add?
Yes,
sir. You know, persecution is 80% action and 20% reaction. You know, something like when people persecute us, the Christian, they come and they just enter into church. They just break away our music system and burn it, destroy it, destroy the Bible, all these things they do. And reaction is, suppose you are there, you are having a prayer meeting, but you don't hit them back, you know. You don't attack them. And that is only the 20% you do it. But the 20% of reaction help them to realize that Christians, they respond to persecution with forgiveness and with love. And like now Muslims are there. Muslims also are persecuted in India. When Hindu persecute to Muslims, the Muslim, they hit them back. They say, if you kill one person, and then we will kill 10%. That's our reaction. But Christians, last year a persecution broke out in a state called Manipur. So in that state, when Christians were persecuted, non-Christians were also living there as a neighbor, you know. So there was a very opportunity for them to catch them, you know, keep them as a captive and attack them. That was possible. But these people, they didn't do that. They said, no, 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 you please go away. You escape from this place. We want to, you know, send you with all safety and protection. So later on, these people realized we went and we live with them, but they did not do harm to us. So that is the way Christians have responded in India and also in many parts of the world. Like I may pick up an example. There was a missionary from Australia. They went to India and worked in nearby our place. His name is Graham Staines and Gladys Staines. They are from Australia. They used to go to a remote village and conduct jungle camp, share the gospel in the winter. One winter night, they were living in a van, caravan van, and these Hindu people, they came and set fire the jeep. So the missionary and two of his young boys, one was, I think, 8 years old, the other was 10 years old, they were burnt alive. And the mother, she could not see, you know, because they became just coal, charcoal. Dead body also she could not see. So some journalists, they came and they asked, Madam, what is your reaction to this persecution? And she said, I don't have hatred towards the killer. I pray for them and I want that they experience the love of Jesus. And that changed the outlook of the Hindu people towards Christians. And with that persecution, many people have accepted Jesus in different places. So always one thing is that persecution always bring fruit. One person dies, but the church grows and many people come to Christ. Yeah,
I respect that a lot, and I think we can learn very much from our Christian, from our Indian brothers and sisters. And that's what I remember always when you told us stories like that. The Indians, they were like, the Christian Indians never acted out or something. They just endured the pain and showed love and kindness instead. And that's very awesome. So how is church planting still possible then when there's persecution and Hindus trying to destroy churches?
Nowadays also we believe that church is unstoppable. Nobody can stop the church. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16:18, I think, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So recently, 1.5 months back, we have a mission field near Asta Cottage. You must have visited. There was a couple, they are living in a Hindu village. And in that village, we just cannot go and say, I'm a missionary, I talk about Jesus. So what we did is, they started a small shop, you know, where they sell biscuits and hair clips, nail polish, all these things, you know. So people from that village, they come and they buy, and then they have a chat with the missionary's wife. And sometime during the conversion, they talk about their family problem, and how are you, this and that, they talk. And slowly, slowly, when they open up their story, family life, then she says, okay, can I pray for you? If you want, we can remember you in prayer. And that's how prayer becomes a healing weapons for the people, and people experience healing, restoration, and salvation in their life. So, last 1.5 months back, I visited one family. They are a Hindu family. And in that area, many witchcraft, you know, witchcraft, occult, sorcery are practiced. So one woman, she had a miscarriage 7 times, 7 babies with miscarriage, and she spent more than 12 lakhs, which means 200,000. 12 lakhs, 1.2 million. She spent, because her husband works in Dubai. So she went to different occult and this thing, and it did not help. Then somebody told, in this place, one Christian is there. Why don't you call and ask him to pray? They just visited, they just pray. Then this miscarriage stopped. And this woman called to her husband over phone and said, you spent so much of rupees for me, it did not help. But a Christian man came and prayed, and I'm healed. Now it is stopped. Then the whole family came and accepted Lord and took baptism. That news went to the radical Hindu, you know, and then they wanted to chase out the family from the village, and they left the village for about 1 week, 1 or 15 days, because they had a young girl who was studying in 10th standard, and they said, we will misuse this girl, you know. That was a threat, so they went. But now, there are some believers who are again united, and they said, you are not doing anything wrong to us. You never told us, you never gave us money, you have never pressured us, forced us. We accepted Lord in our own way. So God is working in an unbelievable way. You know, maybe to the Western mind, you know, what is happening? Is it true? But we experience that the power encounter, you know, we can call it the power, God's power is being encountered, and the Spirit of God is working. Yeah.
You already said that the woman was healed. Mm. Right, so that was kind of like a supernatural experience.
Yes, yes.
Did you ever had that experience for your own or something like that? Like a supernatural experience?
Supernatural experience is a daily process. Sometime it is experience and spell out. Sometime it is not. Suppose if I have good health, that's also a miracle. If I don't fall sick, sometime when we think when we fall sick, then we experience supernatural. But when we don't fall sick, that's also extra grace that that we experience. But I was just sharing with my wife when we were traveling from Bombay to Frankfurt. She was besides me. And in front of me, another passenger is there. He is opening his cabinet, okay? And he had a heavy bottle, water bottle. It was heavy. And it fell down here. I was just sitting, and it fell down here. And then he said, I'm sorry. It's a miracle. Because if it had fallen on me, my head, the case would have been different. You see? So I didn't ask him, because normally Hindu people using the word miracle is very unusual. I did not ask about his faith, but I felt sad about it, because I thought, God, you protected me. Yeah. So our faith journey every day is a miracle. But if you just ask me to a very particular point, I can also share. I was leading in a youth group in our church. Not exactly where we am now, but in a city, I was leading a youth group. There, when in the midnight, I had a dream. And I saw one young boy has a chains on his hand. Okay. It's like police, they chain them, no? So I saw, then I woke her up and said, look, I see in this vision that this young boy, who is also a very active member in the youth group, he had chain in his hand. Then we prayed together. The next day, I asked the mama of his young boy, and she said, son, you good that God told you and you prayed. That night, the police took my son to the police station because that young boy, he attending the youth group, he's an active member in the youth group, but he had a misbehavior with a help, maid servant in the house. And the maid servant went to the police and it was a problem. So I think God uses everyone through different ways, you know? And she said that prayer helped us to find solution to the situation, and God, we thank God for that. So God does a lot of supernatural work through our dreams or vision or work. So God is active. God is active. Yeah.
I can say just one thing. You ask about the supernatural experience in our life. Of course, we have much things that we encounter every day to get the power, you know, to praise God and to get the power and to get the motivation. That's our experience. If we ask to the Lord why this happened, just to be motivated. So one thing I would like to share, all the time we are, most of our time we talk about the mission work, the believers, mission field, about the people. And there was a problem, always, not there was, there is a problem when the Hindu people come to Christ, and we normally work only in Hindu village, not among the Christian, not among the Christian people. So when the Hindu people come to Christ, they are baptized. Most of the time they are, you know, excommunicated from their community. They are not allowed to have fellowship with their own people. So they take a big risk to live their life. And that's the way we have more time to spend with them. All the time he is on, now also you can see, always having a phone in his one hand. So all the time talking to the people to encourage them. And but the thing, most problem is when they die, there is a particular place in every place when the dead body will go into that particular point of place and they burn it. Okay? So in Hindu village, only that point is there because that's a Hindu village. But when a person comes to Christ and he dies or she dies, that becomes so much big problem because the family, the Christian family, they know that my body is not burnt because I'm a Christian. My body has to be buried in a place. And there is no burial ground in most of the Hindu villages because there is no Christian, and government do not give the place because there is no Christian according to their data. And always we have this problem. And many of the time we praise for this issue, and this is a present help comes in the right time from the Lord, because we don't know when a Christian people die in the village and where he should be buried. So for that we have a lot of challenges, but till today God has been our help, and we could able to sometime it happens that for whole day the body is lying on the house of the Christian family because there is no place. We have to think where to take. But that's the way God helps us to solve the problem or show us the right solution. So these are the miracles. These are the miracles. Help come in the right way, which we never expected. Because the person comes to Christ and we don't know where he built the burial place. And another miracle is if the person and the family comes to Christ and the girls of the family is a believer, she has no partner. In the community, there is no Christian boy. So coming together, marriage, taking place of the marriages, this burial ground, any social function, any social fellowship, it's a big challenge. But that's the way God does the miracle. He opens the way and he meets the needs of the people. So these are the encountering or the present help come in the right time to the people, to us.
Yeah, and the most and biggest miracle is the change of the heart. You know, that is the most biggest miracle. So, you know, we are working in a village where many people, they are Hindu, and they cook the illegal country liquor, you know. They prepare the country liquor and they sell it. So, we were working among the people we say to them, you stop cooking this country liquor, this is not good, this is bad for the health, and this is spoil many lives and also spoil peace in your family. So there were two persons who were selling the country liquor, and what they do is that the both people, they go to police sometime, and this person will tell, you go to their house, they have a lot of country liquor, and then the police will go and they destroy it. The other 10 days after, the other person will also give that kind of complaint, and the police will go and they destroy it. So they had a big enmity between these two persons. One day, our missionary went and he talked to him about forgiveness, about Jesus, this and that. But the man was very much angry with his neighbor because he has told to the police about him. And he had a knife. He waited in the evening, in the dark night, thinking that when this person will go on this way, I'm going to kill him. Okay. He is waiting there with his knife, but whatever this our missionary has taught him about Jesus, the Word of God, the forgiveness, when he is waiting to kill him, all these messages, the word is popping in his heart. And then he just threw his knife, and the next day he came to the missionary and told, whatever word that you has taught us that begins to speak to me while I was waiting to kill that person. And now I give my life to Jesus. Now he stopped his work of cooking the country liquor, and now he has started a tea shop, okay, and told in the church that I'm a changed person, you know. And I think the biggest supernatural miracle is the change of heart. Not of healing, not of, other thing, but the change of heart is just like water turned into wine. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not always signs and wonders. It starts from the inside, right?
Yes.
Miracle, okay. Yeah, thank you for your time. That was my last question, and I think we could learn a lot and see how God acts different in different ways in different countries for different needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So, as you can see, they could tell like this all day, but we don't have so much time for a night. So now you know them a little bit better, and we haven't introduced all of our guests to you. And we will do it in the right way, because actually these are my mother and my father. no one has mentioned yet is that these people are the people we met on our Indian mission trip last year. So we visit them, we saw the projects, and we could have a very, very nice time with them. And we have heard many stories like that. We experienced them by ourselves, and that's the reason why we stayed connected after that with the mission company Vishwajyoti. This is why the other two guests are here, Rayani and Arne. Do you want to introduce yourself a little, very, very short?
Okay, we make it short. Yes, hello everybody, and it's a joy to be here, also from our side. My name is Rayani, and I'm here with my wonderful husband,
Arne.
And we are also part of the team, of the Indian team, called Vishwajyoti. And what is the meaning of Vishwajyoti? Vishwajyoti means light of the world, and that's what we want to be. Like wherever God puts us in, it doesn't matter here in Espelkamp, or we are from Gummersbach, we want to be light of the world, and here mainly for the mission in India. And I was originally born in Sri Lanka, and I'm coming also from a very serious, strong background, Hindu background, and I grew up in Germany, in Gummersbach also, and I got to know Jesus there. And 15 years ago, I got connected. I saw Biswajit and Kuni in a German church here. And then we started the first mission trips to India. It was actually a country which I really hated because of the lizards and the snakes and the hygienic matters. But and the traffic, of course, because there is no order. But God has put such a love to the people, to the children, to his people, to my heart, that we started the mission, or we joined the mission. And for many years I'm part of the board also. We are totally in Germany, like 40 members, and every year we organize this mission trip. Last year I've been to India twice, also with one team here from Espelkamp, and then later on again. And we are accompanying the team here in from Germany side. Yeah.
All right. So we want to really warm welcome you all in our youth group, and we really appreciate your time taken for us and to minister us and to share testimonies. And why did I say mother and father? In India, it's very common that you, to elder people, you respect them to say mother and father. The younger kids, they say uncle, I think. Or something like that. Hat schon. Oder willst du dich nochmal vorstellen, Arne? Ja, mach ruhig. Entschuldigung.
Hey, auf Deutsch? Ich mach mal auf Deutsch, dann geht schneller. Ich bin Arne Peters, komme aus dem Norden von Deutschland, St. Peter-Ording, Schleswig-Holstein. Bin dann nach Hannover gezogen, habe dort studiert und mit 33 Jesus kennengelernt. Hatte dann von Gott einen Ruf in Mission, aber er hat gesagt, jetzt noch nicht, später. Und dann 13 Jahre später, habe ich meine Frau Rayani kennengelernt, bin nach Gummersbach umgesiedelt und bin dadurch zu Vishwajyoti gekommen, habe aber Straßenmission, Straßenevangelisation und Jüngerschaft auf dem Herzen, auch hier in Deutschland. Und das ist so mein Herzschlag. Genau, und jetzt hat Gott mich hier heute hierher geführt.
Und ist auch immer mit in Indien. So, ihr habt ja schon ein bisschen was gehört. Damit ihr auch mal ein paar Eindrücke seht und nicht nur hört. Ich finde, Bilder und Videos sagen ja immer mehr als 1000 Worte. Sehen wir jetzt einen kleinen Film. Genau, vielleicht kannst du mal starten. Der ist auch auf Deutsch sogar mit deutschem Text.
Start with the movie. Meine unerschütterliche Liebe soll nicht von dir weichen, sagt der Herr. Wir feiern Gottes Treue in den letzten 25 Jahren. Vishwajyoti Indien in Zusammenarbeit mit Vishwajyoti Deutschland. Wir haben im Jahr 2000 gestartet und arbeiten unter 56 Gruppen in Indien und Nepal. Wir wollen Veränderung in der Gesellschaft erreichen. Sie lernen, nahrhaftes Essen zu kochen. Wasser durch Kochen trinkbar machen. Familien nehmen sich Zeit für gemeinsame Mahlzeiten. Hygiene fördern. Kleine Geschäfte aufbauen. Eine Hähnchentheke. Armreifen verkaufen. Mit Bambus arbeiten. Feuerholz verkaufen. Reis haltbar machen. Tamarinden schälen. Bananen verkaufen. Traktoren zum Pflügen benutzen. Ziegen- und Kuhaufzucht. Läden betreiben. Cashewnüsse verkaufen. Als Maurer arbeiten. In der Landwirtschaft arbeiten. Alphabetisierungskurse für Erwachsene. Einen Weg ins Dorf bauen.
Ich habe Schneidern gelernt und eine Nähmaschine bekommen. So kann ich für meine Familie etwas verdienen.
Es war schwer, Wasser aus dem Fluss zu holen. Jetzt kommt Wasser aus einem Brunnen. So eine Anlage ist ein großes Glück. Die Jugendlichen der Kirche spielen Volleyball. Geistliche Veränderung. Hunderte Kirchen wurden gegründet. Dem Weg zum Gottesdienst. Der Pastor begrüßt die Besucher am Eingang. Der Herr Jesus Christus wird angebetet. Kollekte wird eingesammelt, das Abendmahl zusammen gefeiert, das Wort Gottes wird gepredigt. Zurück vom Gottesdienst. Ich bin glücklich, dass ich Jesus kenne. Ich bin jetzt Christ und habe eine Ziegenaufzucht. Ich liebe Jesus so sehr und bin sehr glücklich. Mein Jesus lebt, der Herr ist nicht tot. Wir lernen im Nähzentrum mehr über das Leben von Jesus.
Jesus hat meinen Mann geheilt. Ich liebe es, jeden Sonntag in den Gottesdienst zu gehen. Die Bibel gibt mir neue Hoffnung. Seit ich Jesus kennengelernt habe, freue ich mich an ihm. Ich liebe es, Jesus zu loben und zu ihm zu beten. Ich habe Tiere angebetet. Jetzt kenne ich meinen Retter Jesus. Wir erleben die Gnade und Barmherzigkeit Jesu alle Zeit.
Ich habe Jesus durch meine Frau kennengelernt und bin jetzt frei von Tabaksucht und Drogen. Ich bin nicht mehr alkoholabhängig und lebe jetzt in Frieden in meiner Familie.
Meine Familie hat sich mit Hexerei beschäftigt. Seit wir Jesus kennengelernt haben, sind wir glücklich.
Dienst unter Blinden. Die Menschen verstehen die Bibel durch Blindenschrift.
Der Pastor besucht uns jeden Tag. Wir lieben es, biblische Geschichten zu hören.
Jesus ist meine Freude. Dienst unter Leprakranken. Dienst unter Menschen mit Behinderung. Dienst unter kranken und verlassenen Menschen. Dienst unter den Kindern von Leprakranken. Dienst in den Steinbrüchen. Dienst unter Witwen im Witwenhaus. Die Logos Bibelschule. Studenten bekommen ihren Abschluss. Ich preise Gott für meinen Abschluss. Missionare besuchen ihre Missionsfelder. Tausende Menschen haben sich taufen lassen.
Es ist einfach Wahnsinn, dass trotz der Verfolgung, obwohl viele Menschen wissen, was es bedeutet, was sie aufgeben, sich so viele Menschen so entschieden einfach für Jesus entscheiden und auch taufen lassen. If there is no other way, then we go for this way, to do the baptism, to be creative.
Ihr Lieben, euer Lohn ist groß im Reich Gottes. Lasst sein Reich wachsen durch eure Gebete und großzügigen Herzen. Vielen Dank fürs Zuschauen.
Yeah, this is one part of the projects that we are doing amongst the mission and also the social projects. And we separated the kids projects, which we will see now, since we are also like reporting in different kind of schools, non-Christian schools also. So there we can just allow to show the kids projects. That's why we'll see now the kids projects. So die unterschiedlichen Kinder. Vielleicht kannst du die Musik ein bisschen leiser, dass ich man noch hört. Genau. Jung- und Kinderheime sind getrennt. Manche sind Tagesprojekte, wo die Kinder morgens hinkommen, eine Schulbildung bekommen und eine Mahlzeit. Vor allem auch viel geistlichen Input mitbekommen. Und oft kommen auch da die Kinder mit Schuluniformen hin oder die geben wir denen halt aus, um da auch die Unterschiede innerhalb der Gesellschaft nicht noch stärker zu fördern. Das ist ein großes Herzenprojekt, das ist das Adoptionsprojekt, wo die ausgesetzten Babys einfach aufgenommen werden. Unsere Schule, wo wir vor 20 Jahren gestartet haben, wo wir nie gedacht haben, dass wir da eine Schule starten können, aber Gott hat so mega, mega gesegnet, unfassbar, wenn wir einfach groß denken. Das ist das Mädchenkinderheim, wo knapp über 80 Mädchen sind.
We are very happy and we are getting ready for our school. Our house parents are very kind and caring.
We help each other and we are getting ready for school.
I am happy for all the facility in Home of Joy.
Alle gehen ganz gesittet zur Schule, also auch da.
I am happy to serve girls.
17 kg of rice and 3 kg of dal.
Every time we'll cook food. For 3 times, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for around 160 people.
I get the nutrition food in Home of Joy.
Ja, schlafen die auch mit 10 Kindern eigentlich meistens zusammen?
So I love Carmel.
My teachers are very good and caring, so I love Carmel College.
I learn English language.
I like to pray. I love Home of Joy.
I get best education
we get best education in Home of Joy.
I enjoy my study hour in Home of Joy.
I enjoy study hour when I miss to understand the classroom. I learn here, my teacher, tutor help me to do my homework.
Namaskar, welcome to Home of Joy Kalata. I am Gina Digal from Phulbani district. We are 4 members in my family. I have 1 elder brother. I am very privileged to tell about my experience at Home of Joy hostel. I came to Home of Joy in the year of 2013. I started my education from LKG and now I successfully completed my class 10th and waiting for my result. The facilities here I received is highly appreciated. The food, the atmosphere, hospitality is all perfect here. I'm safe here at Home of Joy. I do thanks all my elder sisters and younger ones. I learned many things like to support my younger ones and to give them good instructions. I do thanks to AGSM India and Sir Viswajit Pani and Ma'am Sanju Prabha Pani and Vijayati team. I do specially give thanks to my sponsor, donors, and my beloved sponsor, Health Peter, who supported me and cared me and showed unconditional love towards me. I'm very happy to be the part of Home of Joy family, and I will always carry the spirit of Home of Joy in my entire career. Thank you.
I love you, Vijayati.
Toilets are very clean. In many other schools, girls were facing difficulties to not having sanitization and hygienic. So I love Carmel.
We learn in book Darwin theory, but our teacher helped us to understand how we are created in the image of God.
I am very happy to learn mathematics in Carmel English School.
Third one, control rods, and fourth one, shielding.
I love games. Games keep me fit and healthy.
I clear all my doubt in study hour.
Namaskar. Thank you, Vijayati, for your love, care, support. Very much thankful. All the.
This is our house father from the girls' hostel.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want.
Ephesians 6 verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Philippians chapter 4 verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say you rejoice.
Thank you for watching, and we are so, so thankful to all the youngsters here for this wonderful opportunity that you have given to us. And I request our four people, let's give a good clap for their attendance, because today I feel like really the English people has ruled the world. And that's why we forgot our own language and at least able to speak only in English, which unites us. Therefore, yes, German language is good, but more than that, English unites us. Wherever we go, we are able to speak. So that's a good thing. And I just would not like to sit on Bible study, because I know many of you, when you visited last year, can I see your hands? How many of you have visited India? Yeah? Just raise your hand a little higher. Yeah? Yes. I know that many of you have preached very well, very, very well, share God's word. Therefore, I do not want to share in-depth Bible study, but I just would like to share a little thought that is laid in my heart. When we came here, we first went to work among the children in different schools. We visited about 19 classes students in two schools, and it was amazing. When the children, they ask us about our work in India, and also our faith, our culture, we felt, yeah, God has opened the ways to work among the children. The other day, we went to a house Christ. All the people are having only gray hair, you know. More than all of them, almost more than 60 years old. 60, 70 years old. And today I see young people are here. So God has not left any generation, and God is working in all generation. And we are here this evening very delighted, because a young generation are here who have long way to work and bless this nation. And that's why David says, how can a young man keep his ways clean? By keeping your word in his heart. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, youngsters, we are so, so happy that you have come in a very good number this evening to hear what God is doing in India. You know, we are working in a very critical time, but at the same time, persecution is helping us to stand strong in faith, and persecution is helping us to witness the growth of the church. That's why in Open Doors, we teach to people, Christians are like a rubber ball. The more you hit the ground, the more it bounces up. You know? And in other teaching also we say, Christians are like a tea bag. You know? The hot the water is, the tea will smell it strong. If the tea bag is cold, put in the cold water, it does not smell good. You know? So Christians are like a rubber ball. Christians are like a tea bag. And Christians are like roads. You know? When you crunch it in your hand, the fragrance will fill the room. If rose is here, but you don't crunch it, then nobody will feel the smell. So Christian presence really helping us when we face persecution, then the church will grow. I wish that such persecution will experience worldwide, so that church will grow. Because we live in a comfortable zone sometime, but church is cold. Therefore, Jesus has told in Luke 6:22. Somebody can read it. Luke chapter 6, verse 22.
Because you follow the Son of Man,
Good. In my version, New International Version, it is written, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. You know, there are four steps is mentioned there. Number one is hate you. Number two is exclude you. Number three is insult you. And number four is reject you. You know, and I think these four levels of persecution is happening in different places. Even in your school or in your office, if you are standing as a witness of Jesus, they may not beat you, but they hate you. You know, you may also have experienced little bit of persecution. So sometimes in India also, people hate, and then they do what they do, they exclude you. You are living in a community and you are not allowed to use water from the same pond, water from the same well. That is another problem. And then they also insult, you know, insult that you are a Christian, you are following the foreign religion, they insult us. Then they sometimes reject you, which is the fourth version of persecution, that they want to kill somebody. And that's what I was mentioning with Brother Dite, about 180 people were killed in one state last year. So, but you remember this H-E-I-R, okay? H is for hate, I is for insult, E is for exclude, and R is for reject. H-E-I-R. H-E-I-R helps us that because Jesus was also hated, Jesus was also excluded, Jesus was also insulted, Jesus was also rejected, we are co-heirs with Jesus. Somebody can read Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Romans 8, verse 17. Yes, Paul is inviting us because we are heirs, we are hated, we are excluded, we are insulted, we are rejected, we are also co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, the first martyr, Stephen, when he looked to heaven, he saw heaven open, and Jesus is standing on the right hand of God and welcoming Stephen. Stephen is, you are the hero. You gave your life for me. Now you come and I welcome you. You know, therefore, let us never be afraid of any kind of degree of persecution that comes to our life. And this the people who are young people, they can only have that boldness. You know. Therefore, I just want to challenge you, my dear brothers and sisters, young people. This nation also needs that we will become witness for Jesus. And when we become witness for Jesus, then we will face persecution. But when we witness for Jesus, the church will multiply. 2 months back, myself and my wife, we attended one open doors meeting that was held in New Delhi. It was a secret meeting. Only few leaders were there. And there, we had a discussion. And one lawyer was there, and he said, in that particular state, about 100 pastors were in prison because of no reason, just because they were praying in some place, just because they were preaching in the church, just because they are celebrating birthday party in a hotel, they were caught by these Hindu radicals and just pushed into the prison without any reason. And when they went into the jail, you know, in the jail, the criminals, they, oh, you came, you are the people, you are Christian, you are converting people. So they hit, they insulted, they sometimes, you know, humiliated people. But after 4 or 5 days, they slowly began to see the love of Jesus through their behavior, through their words, and their lives are changed. 100 prisoners are there, 500 criminals, they gave their life to Jesus. And the prisoners are writing to their wives, they say, don't apply for our release from the jail, because jail, prison, is the safe place for us to share the gospel. You know? So these 500 people who have accepted Jesus, they have a determination, they have a will that when we are released from the jail, we are going to our own village, we will find 500 churches. You know, that is happening in persecution in God's way. Therefore, I would like to share a little bit about the power of prayer. You people who have come to India, I just want to thank you for what you have done. And if you want to visit again, you are most welcome, because our teams are here. They are organizing every year to visit our mission field. And we try to give our best, but it is not the best. You have to eat rice morning, evening. But the love that you share with our children in the mission field, that changes the life of people. They remember your work. Last time, Brother Dieter, he came and he shared his testimony. That has touched many lives, because young people are also facing a lot of drugs issue and issues with their youth life, temptation. And that has really helped many, many young people to give their life to Jesus. Therefore, if you are able to come, please come. If you are not able to come, as a church, you can send somebody. If you are not sending somebody, you can support somebody, so that on your behalf, somebody will stay there, work there, and send report to you, so that we have a partnership. And during persecution, we have I want to leave one word with you. Somebody can read Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. This verse I really love. You know, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Acts chapter 12 is a very marvelous verse which talks about persecution. You know, James, who was a disciple of Jesus, he was killed by King Herod, and Peter was kept in prison, and Herod thought James is killed and the Jewish people have no opposition to it. Now, after the Passover, Peter also will be finished. We will kill Peter. And that time, in the house of John Mark, the church is praying for Peter. And this prayer, I can tell it is a four kind of prayer. The first kind of prayer is, it was a united prayer. Like we pray in our individual house, in our individual home, but when we come to church, we pray for a specific need with unity. It was a united prayer. The second prayer, it was an urgent prayer. They call unto Jesus, they call unto God, Lord, you must release Peter from prison, because he is the pillar of the church. He has inaugurated the church and he is now in prison. How the work will go on? Therefore, when you receive any prayer point, either from India, either from Pakistan or Bangladesh or Russia or Ukraine or even from Israel, our need is that we need to pray urgently, because Peter was in prison and the church was earnestly praying. And the third character of this prayer is they were not praying for the whole world, but they are praying for a specific person. It was a united prayer, it was an urgent prayer, and it was a specific prayer. And the fourth thing is, it was an imperfect prayer. You know, they were praying and God answered the prayer. And when Peter was released miraculously, he's going to John Mark's house and he's knocking at the door. And there was a girl, her name is Rhoda. She's telling, this is Peter's voice. Peter is at the door, he's knocking. And the people who were praying there, they are saying, you are out of mind. Huh? This is not Peter, this is the ghost. He is killed. Peter has come and knocking at the door. He is not Peter. But when they opened the door, they saw Peter is standing. Peter came and Peter told them how miracles has happened. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, prayer can does a lot of miracle. Peter was in prison, but the church was endlessly praying for Peter to be released. Therefore, sometimes I think God does not measure our faith, but God is interested of our need. None of us have 100% faith. Do we have 100% faith? No. Sometimes boyfriend has no 100% faith on girlfriend. Sometimes girlfriend also no 100% faith on boyfriend. We live in an imperfect world with an imperfect prayer, but we have a perfect God. And He answers our prayer, He blesses our prayer, and He does miracle. Therefore, let us take up this as a challenge that whenever we see needs, let us pray, and however God leads, let us do. God bless each one of us. Thank you.